little bit, please? Thank you. A little bit more, please. Trust me, that's too loud. We want to welcome all of the children of the Most High God here tonight, the Paris Christian Center. All that you see here has been done for you and for the Lord. No other reason. If you're a Christian, you're in the right place tonight. Welcome you. And this is our weekly communion program. And once again, let me just see, how many of you feel like you're starting to get a little bit of the Christmas spirit? Amen. I'll tell you, a person that seems to have the Christmas spirit all the time, which is, I think, the very essence of it is the spirit of giving, and that's Frank. He's just a great guy, and he's always willing to help. Isn't that the truth? Amen. And we're glad you're here, young fella, and all of you other young fellas here, too. We're glad you're here, too. Those grapes, honest to goodness, if you don't believe me, just go back and try one of them. Did you try them? And the seeds are helpful. Yes. Well, I want to share a thought this evening entitled The Christmas Star. And I'm going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. Let's see if they can bring that up. Yes. And God said, this is the days of creation. I believe this is day number 4. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, and for days, and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning was there again the fourth day. Now, I'm interested in the stars. And as me and others that study the Bible, some theologians, we believe that the stars are very important. The word says they're a sign. And I believe that there are 200 billion, trillion stars. How many is that? I can't really wrap my head on that. 200 million trillion stars, and therefore signs, seasons, days, and years. And when God told Abraham that he would have a son, he declared his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. Anybody ever remember reading that? I believe, personally, indulge me, there are many that believe that every person born has their own star. I believe that. There has not been one hundred billion, 200 billion, trillion people. But I believe that you have a star, that God loves you, and he has included you, even if you don't know him as him being your Savior. He still loves you. He still has a star. It's your star. You're important enough. He put you on this earth, all the other things that he's put here, and it would not seem a hard thing to me. I believe that there's an Angelo star out there somewhere personally, and a Frank star, and Tyler. I got that time. You know, it is an atrocious thing to call somebody by the wrong name, or to just forget their name every week. And there's some people in Scranton, some of them were Casey and Kelly's teachers, and there's one girl, I think her name is Susan, and I always call her Debbie. And I thought I'm going to try to call her Susan and say, I think your name is Susan now. Now, I didn't come of this of late. I've always been this way. I'd be in the supermarket. I'd be in the vegetable aisle or aisle number three at Walmart. And I'd be thinking, I hope there's no reason that I have to try to call this person's name out. Because that can be, I have run people off by not knowing their name. It's a terrible thing. But I don't do it on purpose. I just do it. And that doesn't make it any better. But I'm preaching a message called the Christmas Star. And bear with me for a few more moments and be blessed, because the Father surely has brought his children here tonight to bless them and to encourage them. And we've had some very discouraging times. And it is a rather chilly, isn't it? Or did you make it colder? I don't.
Who's cold?
There's a coldie. There's a coldie. There's a few coldies over here. It just went off. Let's just go for it. You know me. I'll be out of here. You can ask Brenda McElhaney. I'll be out of here by 5 minutes to eight. This will be over with, baby. So whatever you got to complain about, you've only got a few minutes to do it. Or if you like what you're hearing, you got a few minutes to enjoy it. Amen? But anyway, I'm preaching a message I've entitled The Christmas Star. And of course, we know who that is. That's Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Christ in the Greek means the anointed one, the sent one. Messiah in the Hebrew means the anointed one, the sent one. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Where the word says this, if you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have the same benefits and blessings as the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. We are, the New Testament hooks us together, and we will always be together. Never, do yourself a favor, never speak against the Jewish people. We're linked with them in eternity. And Israel was given the law, was given the word. And then we came after, and God made room. He said, there's enough room for all my Gentiles in my program too. So every person born has a star of their own. after all the anxiety and confusion and relapse and sickness and failure and strife that we have seen, God the Father wants you to know how special you are to him this Christmas. I believe if we purpose in our heart, we can have a good Christmas. I'm purposing in my heart with whatever I have to celebrate and love Christmas and love the true meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ. And my thoughts is I hope you will also. Amen. How many of you get your mouse ready for some of them grapes? You know, I've talked so much about it, I'm going back there after church and grabbing me a handful of them from somewhere, and I'm just going to eat them. And like I said, I'll be swallowing those seeds too, personally. I'd like to read next in the sound booth, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Could we go there, please? And this gets right into the Christmas story. And you know, the little bit that I went to church growing up, I learned the Christmas story. It had always had a beautiful, welcoming mystique to me that I wanted to know. There was just something about Christmas. How could you have Christmas without Jesus? It's not possible. But I'm going to read beginning at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Okay? It's not the three wise men. There's probably more than three. There doesn't have to be. But there's nowhere in the word which says there were three wise men. It said there were wise men that came from the east. Well, where is east? Well, it could be anywhere east of Israel, Persia, two or three other places. There are things that are not known in particular, for sure. But you know, there's enough of it that we understand, and millions have already believed, not only in Christmas, but in the star of Christmas. And we love him. And I hope you can soak this in for the next few moments. And they were saying to Herod, who was intimidated by the very thought of somebody like Jesus, the Savior, coming, where is he that is born King of the Jews? See, that was an intimidating thing for them to say to Herod. For we have seen his star. Everybody says his star. In the east, and are come to worship him. We've seen his star. And they were innocent in their thoughts. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ or the Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, let's get some more of this, please, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child. See, Satan wanted to do a Moses all over again. Satan wanted to kill Moses before he was born to try to hinder the plan of God. Let me tell you, there is not an angel, anyone, any army, any force that can hinder the promises of God. It might look like it for a while, but all of a sudden you're there and you see, my God, God is right on time. He will not be stopped. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everybody that dwells on this earth. We belong to him. We're his. Your enemies are his. This nation's enemies are his. China belongs to God. Russia belongs to God. The Ukraine belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And ultimately, it's going to be exactly the way he said it's going to be. And things are going to turn out the way that he said they're going to turn out. And the good news is, that's all for your benefit. There's not any of that that's not for your good benefit. So you will benefit from that. So he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. He was going to kill him. In fact, there was a slaughter of young children in that region at this time, just like there was with Moses' people in Egypt. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, everybody said they went into a house. They were not in the manger anymore. So that cute little nativity scene with the three wise men outside and the manger and the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes type of deal. That's not, as you take a closer look, there's a better look, a more beautiful look at what really happened, and yet there's a lot left out. And you know what? I think that's the part that gives us such a great joy and happiness about Christmas. I'm 71 right now, and I feel like I did when I was 7. I've always loved Christmas, and I hope you do too. Because all he wants to do is bless you. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, all of that stuff is true. And some of the other things that we've heard about Christmas, they're not harmful, but they're not accurate. But I hope one thing, whatever you believe, I hope that you love Christmas and that you love Jesus, because he has nothing but good things for you. And Jesus had his own star, and I believe in the economy of God. Each person ever born has their own star. And you don't have to believe that way, but I believe that. And it's your star. I know you can do something about that, God, son. Tell me what you're going to do. I'm watching. Man, when you were his age, we were whooping your butt all over this church, making you mind. And you wasn't easy. One time, Tommy was holding that boy. And he had his thumb in his mouth. It was right over there. And I just walked by. And he sucker punched me. And Tommy looked at him and said, "You can't hit the pastor." Just kept sucking his thumb. He said, "You tell him you're sorry." Sorry. He didn't mean it. You know I love you, don't you, Godson? I think you're getting there. Isn't it wonderful to have your own son? Yes. You're a good dad. That boy is so happy. Seldom have I seen a child happier than that little child. I want you to know that you're special to God. I want you to know you might have a year that you don't feel very special. I've heard some of the saddest things that have happened in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Keisha and I were talking. She was telling about somebody that we know both very well. That is completely relapsed, utter relapse, almost psychotic how bad it can be, isn't it, Keisha? How many of you know people that have relapsed? Yes. How many of you know people that have just, they've got relationship problems? Yes. How many of you know people have money problems? Yes. You know, as many problems as this world has, sometimes I could see where people would think, well, where in the world is God? Well, I'm going to tell you this here. Here's where God is. Some of these things have to take place in order for the end to come. And he said, be of good cheer because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you as long as you need me, and you need me, and I want you. I want everybody to know here that God wants you. God wants you. You're not an accident to him. He knew you were coming before you ever got here. He knew you while your mother was carrying you in her womb, and he loves you. And you're special. Put up, if you would please, John 3:16-17. These words, how can they be neglected? For God so loved the world. In the Greek language, when it has that so loved, what that there is a great influence right there. And it means God's not kidding. He really loves this world. He'll never forsake this world. He'll never leave this world. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he will save them. And he will save them every day. And he will help them and provide for them every day. And I'm asking you, because in just a moment, we're going to take communion. And I'm going to ask you one thing I want you to keep on your heart. What do you want God to do for you this Christmas season? He wants to know. Get it in your heart, amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you'll give God a little bit of a chance every day, he'll save you. He ultimately will save you. And let me say that again. What do you want God for you to do? Do for you this Christmas? Because it's time to take the communion as is in this Bible. And many denominations use this Bible. It's the same communion. Let a man examine himself. Then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Then let him. So I'm going to give you a chance right now to make an altar where you are. You don't have to take communion here if you don't want to. We understand that. But everybody is welcome to. Examine your heart.